Would turn in your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. I want to preach this morning a message titled, The Value of Labor. Of course, this is Labor Day weekend. A lot of people are looking forward to having Labor Day off. Well, I'm going to take advantage of this and look at it from another side and show just how valuable the principle of labor really is in the Word of God. It's going to probably surprise you how much this subject is referenced throughout the Bible. Our text makes it clear that all labor is to be considered a profitable enterprise. Labor or work is a sure way to live a profitable life, both in secular pursuits and also in the spiritual realm. I think just as we ought to work for our bread, we ought to work for our Lord. We ought to serve Him and obey Him and honor Him with everything that we have in us. Work is absolutely essential to the well-being of individuals and to society as a whole. It's one reason why it's included in the Ten Commandments. 6 days shalt thou labor, and the seventh is a Sabbath holy unto the Lord. Now, we live in a culture that has increasingly disparaged and derided and really criticized the strong work ethic that our American forefathers taught and practiced. The American work ethic is what helped build our nation and really made it exceptional. You think about it, America has been the source of inventions, innovations, and industry that has profited the world at large. It's one of the reasons why people want to come to the United States. Because historically, the American / Puritan work ethic combined with free market capitalism has offered the best opportunities for wealth and freedom throughout the world. Now we're really getting a different story in today's information, the dispersal of information. People criticize America. I fear that a lot of times kids come out of higher education hating America more than they love it. I've never been able to figure out why anybody would want to disparage and deride the nation that they live in. It really makes no good sense to me. Now, we live in a society, and I preached this several years ago. Does anybody remember me preaching it? John Bills, great. Yeah. Joe Pemberton. You got it marked in your Bible? And John, you just ruined the whole message. John got the exact date. It was 6 years ago. Since then, there have been all kinds of developments on this front. We're living in an age where people, there are a lot of people that historically have wanted to leave socialist, communist dictatorships because there's little freedom or the ability to gain and possess wealth. I believe that's one of the reasons why so many people want to immigrate here. Or at least it has been in the past. Now I'm afraid the way that our government is structured and acting and the incentives that they're giving, promoting free stuff if you come to America. It used to be come to America, work hard, and you can make something of yourself. We're living in an age where a lot of people are coming here. They come in, they get on the welfare rolls. They don't call it that anymore. And Katie barred the door. It's generational welfare in our society now. But Marxism, I don't care how you look at it, in every form, ultimately takes away the incentive to work. The philosophy of economics by Karl Marx and the things that flow from it, socialism and communism, it causes social division, disruption, class envy, and injustice. And really the system has failed everywhere it's ever been tried. I mean, look at Venezuela right now. You don't hear much about it, but their government, they declared a socialist state. They went from being one of the most prosperous Latin American countries to their money being worth absolutely nothing due to hyperinflation, and got to the place where people were starting to eat their dogs because there was nothing to eat. Same thing happened in Cuba, the Soviet Union. See, this system has tried to force an equality of outcomes through the redistribution of wealth, with centralized government being the one solving the problems and doling out just enough money to keep people under their control. That's the essence of totalitarianism. Now, that what's happened in the past 6 years is there's been a whole new component added to this that you can look it up on the World Economic Forum. The elites have come up with what they call the Great Reset. And it's not a conspiracy. It's a real thing. You can look it up on the World Economic Forum. They want to eliminate ownership of everything. And basically, the elites will decide what you get, when you get it. All this push toward green energy, it's all part of it. I mean, they're going to wreck the American economy, because I can guarantee you something. I've watched the videos that Ed Pratt puts on about baling hay. You know, I don't know how you can get all that done on a farm by what you produce from a windmill or a solar panel to fuel a car, fuel one of those big machines. It ain't going to happen, man. It's not reality. It's going to break us. America has fallen prey in some degree to Marxist philosophy. And I say that with a broken heart. My parents your parents. I'm talking about everybody here. Your parents taught you the value of work, the importance of labor, of personal responsibility, of doing your dead level best to be self-sufficient. I mean, that's what our parents taught us. Many of you, some of you grew up on Buffalo Creek and you saw how people worked and labored. And I believe they're still doing it. Now, a lot of people are out of the workforce. It's almost, there's jobs. But people would rather take benefits, what they call it now, and they won't take a full-time job because that might mess up their Obamacare, their Medicare, their food stamps, their all these other things. Housing allowance, all that. Because if they make too much, the government won't give them as much. That's a horrible system. Now, and I think it goes back to the devaluing of labor, which is why I think messages like this need to be preached from time to time. We need to get back to the time-honored principle of our text. In all labor, there is profit. Labor, work, effort, diligence, discipline. It's good. It's profitable. It should not be derided as beneath us. Now, first of all, labor is commanded by God. Have you ever thought about this? I think it's interesting that even before the fall of man, God expected Adam, who, by the way, I believe was a direct creation of God, that Adam is the first man that ever lived and walked on planet Earth. Do you believe that? I believe it because the Bible teaches it. In Genesis 1, Genesis 2, all the way through the Bible, Adam is regarded as the first man. When God created Adam, He expected him to be industrious and diligent, laboring in the Garden of Eden. He actually created him in a garden. And you want to do some work, go to the garden. And it's work. And it's worth it. But look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. By the way, two genders. Male, female, period. End of story. And man is to have dominion. Not the other way around. The environment is not to come before man. Man is the one that is the focus of creation here. Look at chapter 2, verse 15. "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it." Before Adam ever fell into sin, he was expected to work before the fall. Now, after the fall, man, labor would become much more difficult, and man would earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and that thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou wast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. So there was a penalty, a consequence of not obeying God. That's another thing that you ought to teach your kids. That there are consequences. You always reap what you sow. It's a universal law. Now, I believe that God has forgiven me of many of the things that I've sown that were wrong. But that doesn't mean all the scars are gone. Because there's always consequences for how you live your life. I wonder how I could have been smart if I wouldn't have been a drunk. And if I wouldn't have did so much dope when I was a young person. But there are consequences. You say, well, that you're talking pretty plain. I'm telling you the reality of life. And it's the only the grace of God. That's why if I see somebody that is on dope or in a drunkard, I say to myself, I pray that God will save them. If I can't talk to them, I pray that God will raise up somebody to tell them about the peace and the grace that's in Jesus Christ. Because I know if God would not have intervened in the person of Christ, I'd either be dead or in jail. Don't ever get on your high horse. Don't forget the rock out of which you've been hewn. We're sinners saved by grace. Now, God incorporated this labor is commanded by God. He incorporated the concept of labor in the Ten Commandments, the moral law. The fourth commandment regarding the Sabbath starts out, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. God sanctioned a 6-day work week. John Gill said this about labor. Much is got by it. Food, raiment, riches, wealth, wisdom, honor, either with the labor of the hands or the head. And nothing is to be got without labor. And he that is laboring in his calling, whether it be by manual operation, working with his hands that which is good, or by hard study, much reading, and constant meditation, is likely to gain much for his own use and the good of others. The morality of labor or work is also set forth as a New Testament principle. So you have the teaching before the fall, after the fall, incorporated into the Ten Commandments, and also as a New Covenant, New Testament principle. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 11. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business. Oh boy, that's a good one, isn't it? And work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. It's a matter of honesty. Labor is. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 7. In 1 Thessalonians 4, he's promoting the goodness of labor, the value of it. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he's condemning laziness and slothfulness. It says in verse 7, "For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us," chapter 3, verse 7, "for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us." In other words, we're giving you this missionary, the writer of this book, said, "I'm giving you an example to follow. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." I do believe this is talking to people that are healthy and are capable. Certainly, you have to help people that can't help themselves. I really believe it starts in your family, in your neighborhood, in the church. So don't think I'm disparaging helping people that have mental or physical disabilities that prevents them from working. I'm talking about you. Okay? I'm talking about you that are able to work. All of us should make it a lifelong pursuit to work to the glory of God. Now, look what it says, verse 11, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now we command, now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." Basically saying, get with it, man. Work. So God's commands before the fall, after the fall, incorporated into the law and in the new covenant, New Testament, men and are commanded to labor, to work for their own bread. You know, it seems like I got through that message a lot faster the first time. Now, I think I'm going to finish up some of this tonight. Now, I'm not quitting right now, so don't get your hopes up. Teresa, I'm continuing here. She had her keys out, man. What labor provides? The passages in 1 and 2 Thessalonians clearly teach that God has designed gainful employment as the means by which we may obtain our daily bread, our physical sustenance. Labor is the means of providing for yourself and your family. So it should be respected. Work and its results should be seen as a gift from God. And believe me, if you develop this attitude, you won't hate your job as much as you do. I've learned that I know I'm a strange duck. My whole life, I probably started mowing grass when I was 11 or 12. Now, I've never been a big fan of mowing grass, but I love the fact that when I got done, these little old women would reach in their pocketbook. That's what they called it back then. They'd reach in their pocketbook, pull out those greens,
and hand them to me.
Oh, man. 12 years old, you're making $50 a week mowing lawns. I mean, I was stepping in high cotton. And I started to work as a busboy. The day I turned 16, when I could get a real check, and I thought, can you believe, Eric Luckup and me, we're in the Busboy Hall of Fame with Bob Evans. And I just say that in passing. But I started out at $1.85 an hour. And me and Eric would be driving to work and we'd say, man, can you believe they're paying us $1.85? No, man. And at the end of the week, it's like in the summertime, you work 40 hours, you're going to clear almost 80 bucks, you know? Plus, back then, when you worked for Bob Evans, you got free food. Now, that is a deal. Every day you got your lunch, whatever you wanted, and $1.85 an hour. Woo! And we were happy. We were so thankful to be gainfully employed. And both of us, you know what? We would say, you know what? I'm saving my money. I'm going to get a nicer car. I bought my first car when I was 15. I couldn't drive it. My dad would only let me drive it in and out of the driveway when I would clean it. So I washed and waxed it about once a week. But I bought my first car on my own. It was a 1966 Volkswagen Bug. It was red. Yeah, four on the floor. Man, I was so proud of that car. But you know what? I told Eric, man, now that I'm making $1.85, I'm going to get something nicer. And I bought another car. My parents, they didn't just give me everything. And it didn't hurt me at all. In fact, I think it really did me a lot of good. Work, there's nothing wrong with it. There's a lot right with it. But no matter, and I'm going to get to this verse, you've got to get your mind right about work. You have to see it as God sees it. It's something that's profitable. It's good. And if you're gainfully employed, ask God to give you grace to love what you do. So no matter what job I've ever had, I've learned to like it. Sometimes love it. I absolutely love being a meat cutter. Especially when I got to work with my dad. And that's who I started working with. I went from Bob Evans to Huber Meats. An old German sold my dad his meat shop. And boy, what a wonderful experience to learn how to cut meat. I enjoy it today. I've done so many different things to provide for my family. Even when I had to work heating and air. Oh, with Rod Gamble, one of the best guys I've ever worked with in my life. Man, he made me go places that human beings shouldn't be. I've had to be under houses where I've seen spiders big enough to carry a gun. And I've seen all kinds of skeletons of a variety of animals. And you wonder, what got them? What is it that got them and their skeleton? And here I am messing with these people's ductwork. I even like doing that work. Because I've learned the principle that in all labor there is profit. Look what it says in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 9. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Verse 13. and that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. If you're able to work, that's a gift from God. Thank Him for the vocation He's put you in. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 18. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. So, you got to get your mind right and recognize that labor is a gift from God. And when you understand that, you'll better understand the value of your labor that God has enabled you to do. You say, well, I'm retired. You know what? I know that's a thing. But you want to see somebody that's retired? Follow them throughout the week. Stay with Joe Pemberton for a week. You want to see what somebody does when they're retired? How about this John Bills? Stay with him for a week. They're both supposedly retired, and they're still working. You know why? It makes you a better person when you value labor and work. I want to work till the end of my days in some way, shape, or form. You know, even if I'm all crippled up, I hope I can still get a knife in my hand and cut meat, you know. Yeah, bring that over here, sonny. I'll cut that up for you. I want to be able to labor until the Lord takes me high. I want to be able to preach. Till God calls me home. I want to be in the work of the Lord. You know how a preacher retires? I've done it so many times. He gets 4 new tires. He retires and gets back out on the road. Now, like I said, I finished this message in one message. The date John said, it was 6 years ago, I think. I'm going to finish up the rest of it tonight because I think this is a valuable lesson for all of us to learn. Let's all stand.